First things first, on the farmers' protest, both of you will have a chance to say what's wrong with it, if it's there, if anything is wrong with it, what is it? First of all, let's go to Suresh ji.
All these, I will start with these three legislations which have been passed. These have been passed in a hurry, without proper consultations, without referring it to the Standing Committee on Agriculture. It was done basically to support the corporates rather than the farmers here. So I will not go into the names of all these three legislations. Basically, support what I am saying, I would say that it is against the farmers' interest for the following reasons. Because basically, it has the impact of abolishing the mandis, which basically is the main point where things are bought and sold, especially in places like Punjab and Haryana. They are supposed to be the granaries of India. So one of the things is that which farmers are asking for is the legislation doesn't protect the minimum support price, because minimum support price, even though minimum support prices are not that effective in other parts of the in other states of India, it's pretty well organized in Punjab and Haryana. So all these minimum support price, there is no guaranteed minimum support price as per the legislation. So as such,
can I pause you there, Suresh? Can I pause you there? Have you read the three bills?
Yes.
Okay.
These three bills are not big enough. So in summary, basically the objection which I have is, one, if they want to legislate this way, they have to guarantee minimum support price.
So that is your main primary objection.
That is the main contention of the farmers, as well as from Indian Overseas Congress as well. The other thing is that main items have been removed from the Essential Commodities Act. So basically, stockpiling, which can allow theoretically stockpiling of these commodities through hoarding, which can increase the result in price rise. And who can do that? Obviously,
but the government is keeping the powers with them, just in case prices go too far high. They can legislate, they can order the stockpiling to be released.
No, but that is not an argument where you can't legislate that at this stage, because what happens is it doesn't prevent anyone from hoarding. Even I can hoard, even farmers can hoard. But the point is that
if the corporates do their investment, they want to make a profit.
We understand that. We understand that they can hoard. It requires a lot of capital investments for freezers and all the sort of godowns and things like that. But if you look at it, the way in which it is going, eventually Food Corporation of India will be bought by Adanis or Ambanis, and they will use the public property which is under the control and possession of Food Corporation of India, because it is up for sale. So
yeah, okay, we'll come back to the Adanis and Ambanis. Let's have Mukesh respond to it. What do you think, Mukeshji? What's wrong with it? And if nothing is wrong, then what's so good about it?
Look, so far, whatever policies that BJP government under the coalition NDA has introduced, of course, there would be some challenges in introducing and implementing them. And of course, the opposition has an important role to oppose whatever comes out, right? Now, coming back to the farmers' bill, abolition of mandis. If there is a mandi where the farmers are selling and they're selling tomatoes for $2 a kilo, and they are forced to sell because the mandis are controlled by the middlemen, and then they sell in the retail or the wholesale market for $20 a kilo, So farmers are not getting the real benefit of the price that prevails in the retail market. Maybe there has to be some form of infrastructure. Now, if the retailers, I read about an argument that Ambanis and Adanis, they will go to the farmers and all the middlemen will lose their jobs. But the Ambanis and Adanis, that they are not going to, Mr. Mukesh Ambani is not going to drive his truck to the farm in near Chandigarh and pick up all the wheat crop and then take it to Mumbai. So the whole infrastructure, employment will still be there. The point is that they're going directly to the farmer. And if the farmer is willing to sell at a price that the Ambanis are willing to buy for, it may or probably more likely be higher than what they would be selling in the local mandi.
See, the main point Suresh was raising was there is no minimum support price.
I don't think so. I did a search while Mr. Suresh spoke about the minimum support price. There are minimum support prices available for 2021 on the website.
Now, through this new legislation, the three pieces of legislation.
MSP has always been, means not always, has been there part of BJP. The Modi's government has been talking about, yes, there has to be a minimum support price. So I'm not very sure why this particular legislation is not about MSP. So it looks like as if the MSP is not there. But the MSP has been there and it's not an abolishment of the MSP. So I don't think there is fact behind the abolishment of MSP or the MSP not being part of the legislation. So it's a different legislation. It's got nothing to do with MSP. Maybe they have to just do the wording, okay, MSP is still in existence. That is something the government can do to make it more clear that MSP is not going disappearing. MSP is still there.
So you think the government is failing in their communication with the farmers?
There could be communication problem, but the farmers group, whoever is coming to Delhi to agitate, they need to sit down and say, look, is there MSP there? And the government is not stupid to say, look, there is no MSP. I don't believe that the government and the agriculture minister is saying there is no MSP. The farmers don't want to listen. And I see a political agenda in maligning the policies or probably creating information environment which is not 100% factual.
See, the problem is, as I understand, MSP is the issue, the main issue. Although the new legislation in Section 5 of this Act, which is Empowerment and Protection Agreement on Price Assurance, in Section 5, there is reference to the MSP as well. There is going to be, if this becomes law and it goes ahead with it, then the farmers will be able to strike agreements with the purchasers, whoever it is, and then the price will be guaranteed because they will be negotiating the price. And as Section 5B says, as a premium or bonus over and above the agreed price, there may be reference to MSP as well. So the government will argue that the reference to MSP is there as bonus or premium over and above the agreed price. So that is why they want to leave it open. If they legislate, if they set in stone, that may be to the detriment of the farmer. That is their argument, as I understand. Suresh, you want to say something on that?
Yeah, I want to tell one thing is a 65% of Punjab and Haryana's transactions, especially for rice and wheat, is through the mandi system. The mandi system and where minimum support price is guaranteed. The question is not whether it has been mentioned very clearly or the mandis will be dismantled or not. But the point is that if you are bringing a legislation where people can buy and sell outside the mandis, then the very intention should be to make sure that the minimum support price is extended outside the mandi as well. And because if you don't do that, the other point is in mandi, depending upon which state it is, there are taxes involved. So that is, even though that doesn't affect the farmer, but those who are procuring, especially if it is or the state governments, if they have to pay on top of minimum support price, the commission to the middlemen to sitting in the mandis, or 3% to 8%, that sort of range, they will find it is uneconomical, and then compete it with the outside market to control the prices. So effectively, there should be a level playing field between mandis and outside mandis. Two, there should be a guaranteed minimum support price. There should be a guaranteed procurement as well as and a guaranteed timing. Because one of the issue with the Food Corporation of India is that even though mandi is there, they come after the harvest is season is getting over. Because when the right time for procurement is not happening and they are not there, what do the farmers do? Especially if it is vegetables and things like that, it will get perished. And they have no choice but to sell it off at a distressed sale.
But can I interrupt you just there? I understand you are discussing the from the point of view of the Congress Party and the position the Congress Party is taking. If we look at the manifesto of Congress Party of 2019, it is written there as point number 11 that they were going to abolish the APMC Act anyway. And they were going to do exactly what BJP is proposing to do.
No. It was not like that. It was basically there will be complete revamping of the whole thing in consultation with all stakeholders. There is no mention that minimum support price is going to be thrown out because it doesn't serve Congress interest, farmers' interest, or anything.
If they repeal the APMC Act, where will they?
There will be corresponding better alternatives will be brought in.
Okay, then can I draw your attention to the reforms that Manmohan Singh was proposing back in the days when Congress was in power under UPA? They were actually proposing basically the identical reforms that the BJP is trying to bring in now. Although BJP opposed these things, very things, because they were in opposition at the moment, at the time. Now, is the party politics more important than the farmers' reform?
The farmers' interest are the interest of Congress Party as well. But if you look at it, in a market-based system, all sort of eventually the ultimate aim will be the market has to decide the prices. In a healthy environment, being an accountant, I know that eventually the market has to determine.
Let's hear from Mukeshji. Mukeshji, what do you think? Is Congress playing politics here? Pure politics.
I wouldn't say that, but I'll be careful with the words that I choose. Sureshji did mention that there has to be a level playing field between the mandis, people who work in the mandis, and people who are in the corporate world. So he has clearly in his wording, so probably indirectly suggested that the middlemen will be affected because of the change in legislation. He didn't say anything about the farmers having a level playing field. He said people working in the mandis and they get 8 to 10% commission or 2 to 8% commission, they will not be able to compete. See, you're getting my point. I'm not adding words to what Mr. Suresh Walat said, but he actually said that they need level playing field, which means the protest is not in support of the farmers, it looks like, but in support of the middlemen. Coming back, someone would be supporting this kind of agitation. Farmers have better things to do than leave their family behind in the villages and come to Delhi to agitate. So some vested interest would be supporting. And I really don't know how real these farmers are. Are they really farmers? If I'm given equivalent of my salary here, I wouldn't get it. But if I was a farm worker getting 100 rupees a day, and if someone offered me 300 rupees just to go to Delhi and agitate for a week, and I get a couple of $1,000, I wouldn't mind because there's not much work in the farm anyway. So we have to be extremely careful.
Are you suggesting this is pure politics at play?
Not pure politics. There is some form of manipulation going on, because if the farmers are seriously interested, then the people representing these farmers, they need to go to Delhi and talk, which means the chief minister of Punjab, if he is really concerned, he would then go to the prime minister of India and say, look, can we have a discussion? And I don't think the current government is against communication, against dialogue. I don't believe that story, no matter who argues what way. And similarly, if as Mr. Suresh said, that Haryana also depends like Punjab, but the Haryana has a BJP government, right? And the Haryana chief minister is not against it. So is it politics or is it policy which is driven by what is in the interest of the farmers? Think about Australia as a country where the milk dairy farmers, even today, they are struggling in a country like Australia. And there's no minimum support price. And in a country where you are moving towards where there is an open economy, and my biggest concern is that their vested interests, like the Khalistanis, which I've come across, they coming forward to create unrest in the country, as was the case with CAA, Citizen Amendment Act. We have to be extremely careful. What are we putting our hands into? And national interest should be the paramount, and dialogue should be the way to go rather than coming out on the streets and destroying public property. No political party has the right to support that.
But they had been protesting in Punjab for so long.
2 to 6 months.
They were sitting, blockading railway tracks and roads and everywhere. Exactly. And 32 unions have been fighting in the High Court of Punjab and Haryana for the last 3 months. My question is interesting observation that this had to start in Punjab. Why would the farmers of other states, the rest of India, would not be so upset? Surajji?
I just, before I come to that, I just want to clarify one thing. When I talk about a level playing field, I was talking about level playing field for all the stakeholders, including the government procurement agencies, including Food Corporation of India. And whether it is middlemen, whether it is farmers, all stakeholders should have a level playing field inside the mandi as well as outside the mandi. If it has been taken by Mugeshji in a different way, I can't help it. The other thing is that why Haryana? Haryana, today, if you read the newspapers, if you read the live news, you will find they are on the road. They are participating in the bandh. All the farmers have blocked the roads, highways.
It's just been Punjab and Haryana. Why not other states?
That's what I'm coming to. If you look at it, as I said, the mandi system and minimum support price work mainly in Punjab and Haryana. To a very, very minimal extent in Rajasthan, Madhya Pradesh, and very, very little in Bihar. And none of the other places, mandi system.
So, Suresh, I'll stop you here. My apologies for interfering because I'm still learning, right? If it works in Haryana, Punjab, of course, it's the bread bowl of India, I understand. But Kerala, Karnataka, Tamil Nadu, Andhra, West Bengal are equally important in other types of crops, like the kharif crops, when it comes to paddy or rice. So how are they doing things differently from Haryana and Punjab? So would the BJP government or the current NDA government be more concerned about Haryana and Punjab's farmers, or they would be concerned about the whole country's farmers? So how are they operating in other parts of the country?
I can tell you, being a Keralaite, I can tell you, Kerala doesn't produce its own at this stage, okay? Because there are not farmers who want to sell their stuff, because in Kerala, it is basically for sustenance. We do farming for ourselves and we store in our own house for the next 6 months or 9 months, as long as it lasts, and very few people can sell it off, okay? And even then, the minimum support price they offer is far, far greater than other places there.
For what crop? What crop are you talking about? What is the minimum support price for rice?
Kerala's main cultivation is rice. And as you know, for the other items and all, these are spices like...
So when you say it's higher than Haryana and Punjab, what is the price? Just out of interest, I want to know. Per quintal, what is the price?
I think for quintal, that $1,888, which
rupees
in Punjab.
I think MSP for wheat for 2021 is 1975 rupees.
That is at the national level. So how is it higher in Kerala? It's the same price for other parts of India.
In any case,
this is a concurrent list area. The state governments can do whatever they want to do. That was my next question. Why would Captain Amrinder Singh not do what he can do and stop the protest?
Dinesh ji, the point is that there is a residual power, but traditionally, if you look at it, when the constitution makers started it, it is basically a state subject. Yes, it is there in the concurrent list as well, but that is why Kerala government and Punjab government did a legislation opposing the legislation passed this by the central government. Yes. So effectively, legally, they can nullify the whole thing, but it doesn't serve any purpose. And if you look at it, the average income.
Why would it not serve any purpose? Because Food Corporation of India is a central agency of procuring the crops, but Punjab has had two of its own agencies buying the same thing. Because I come from the background, my dad was Ardhiya in Punjab. I was born in there. I have seen through all this drama that's going on. There used to be days of the week divided between these three agencies. Food Corporation of India will buy, I think, twice a week, and the rest of the days will go to Markfed and Punjab Food Civil Supplies. States can run their own business if they want to.
They can, but they need, if you look at it, the Food Corporation of India has massive infrastructure.
Yes.
Including massive infrastructure in Kerala. So Kerala state doesn't own any such infrastructure unless they plan for it. Because the way in which things are happening, eventually, you are right, Dineshi, all the state governments will have their own resources built up because you can't rely on the center. The center and state relationship is on a breaking. I mean, absolutely, there is no proper healthy relationship. There is no healthy relationship at all. GST money has not gone to them, so they are struggling to even to pay wages. Especially Kerala, they are borrowing money to pay wages, which is absolutely rubbish.
Don't go to the GST issue now because we don't want to go
Let's concentrate on the farmers' protest.
You mentioned that in Kerala, the farmers farm for sustenance, and now just now you mentioned that Kerala has the biggest or probably a fantastic infrastructure of the FCI, Food Corporation of India. So in one hand, you're saying the farmers in Kerala don't sell outside. On the other hand, you're saying FCI has a huge infrastructure. So for what reason do they have an infrastructure in Kerala, which is a communist Congress ruled state for 75 years?
For civil supplies, because most of the people...
Why not other states have the same thing? Is it that BJP government did not care or Congress did not care in the past?
No, these Food Corporation of India storage facilities are not built yesterday or since...
Yes, that's right. So why did not Congress have it in other states?
Okay, let's not go into a tangential discussion. My question to you both is, what's the way out of it?
Okay, thanks, Dinesh ji. I think if the farmers of Haryana and Punjab have a problem, the chief minister of these two states, or probably the governors of these two states sitting in Chandigarh, need to take up the responsibility and have a dialogue. This agitation is creating a lot of uncertainty, a lot of confusion among not the farmers alone, but the whole country. And bipartisan support is something that I've learned in Australia, which doesn't exist in India for some reason. Okay, it doesn't exist, that's okay, but open up a dialogue rather than coming out on the street. Coming out on the street did not help or does not help with anything. I have seen agitation by farmers when Congress was in power even 30 years back, and now BJP is in power, we see the agitation. I think the only solution is the leaders who have been elected by the state's people should go to the center and have a dialogue.
I was, just to point out to you, I was watching a video of some Kisan Union leader, and he had come back from the meeting with Narinder Singh Tomar, who's the Agriculture Minister of India. And he was telling a news channel that he or someone from the Kisan Union asked the minister, why are you doing these reforms? Who has asked you? We have not asked you. We are very happy with the system we have in Punjab and Haryana. Now, if the position is that, then what do you think can be the solution? If farmers say, take everything back, we don't want anything.
But Dinesh, we need to remember that the country with 125 crore people, how many are farmers and how many are participating in agitation and how many are anti? So it looks like we need to do another election to find out who is in support of the farmers reform bill and who are not. Because when we say all the farmers of Punjab, I would put a question mark on that. Not everyone is harmed, not everyone benefits.
Yes, that's correct. I have received a post from a farmer in Firozpur, absolutely in favor of the new reforms. It's 886 words. And he says all this, what is going on at the Delhi corridor is rubbish. Sureshji, what's your take? How do we move forward?
The one thing which Mugeshji said, I corrected it. The person who legislated is the central government. Central government should have taken up this matter and detailed discussion should have happened in the Standing Committee for Agriculture. It should have been there in the parliament itself, detailed discussion. But by suspending 8 members of the parliament, by suspending discussions, they involved it and you expect them to discuss with the, they should have discussed with the state governments, because state government is a stakeholder in this. Farmers are stakeholders. This discussion should have happened before this legislation was passed.
Okay, let's look at it, the problem, the way it is in front of us. What do you think is the way forward?
At this stage, repeal of these acts is the only solution, because there is no outcome from these three legislations, because the farmers want the minimum support price to be guaranteed. And that should be there. And with respect to Essential Commodities Act, which allows basically the fear that corporate will take over and stockpile commodities to adjust the prices, demand the prices they wanted, that is a real real fear, and that will affect the common man, all the consumers in India, because just like so that need to be addressed. And then
do I understand your position correctly? You are saying that all these three pieces of legislation should be repealed entirely.
I personally, and even Congress, would say that no, minimum support price has to be guaranteed. Stockpiling, that fear has to be addressed. There should be judicial oversight.
Judicial, there is mechanism created in these three pieces of legislation to take care of the judiciary side of things. Although they have barred
the judiciary.
No. They have worked out the mechanism to deal with it at the subdivisional magistrate level. Although civil courts are barred to take cognizance of any dispute, but they
have subdivisional magistrate. He is a political appointee. He is a collector. And look at a simple farmer who doesn't have the resources which the corporate lobbies will have. And who is going to fight against that?
But and it are is you practical. Are you then of the view, Sureshji? Sorry, are you then of the view that there is absolutely no merit in these reforms?
When I look at it overall, it does more harm than good. And I would say that yes, there is reforms needed.
Can you point out which way it does more harm than good?
Basically, because minimum support price is not there.
But that's not part of this legislation. That will come under the APMC Act, which is still there. That's not being repealed.
No, but there is no interest.
Not at this stage.
Food Corporation of India is the main one, especially who does the procurement, giving this minimum support price. Okay. And once there is no level playing field, why should Food Corporation of India try to procure items? They will come once the season is over. So practically there is no procurement. And why should they pay at a higher rate of minimum support price when in the outside market it is cheaper? Because in the outside market, a farmer is forced to sell it half the price, because most of these stuffs are perishable commodities and they have no choice. And these individual 2 acre, 1 hectare, those sort of farmers don't have that.
So in essence, your position is total repeal of these three pieces of legislation.
Yes.
And start afresh.
And start afresh.
What do you think, Mukeshji?
Yeah, look,
proper discussion.
Now, when Suresh a few times mentioned perishable product, I don't see why paddy is perishable. Jowar, bajra, maize, ragi, moong, urad, cotton, sunflower seeds, soybean, wheat, barley, gram, masoor. Which one of these are perishable? They can last for 2 to 3 years without any spoilage if the storage is
proper. But Mukeshji, then the problem is the small-sized farmer. They don't have either the financial capacity or the storage capacity to store if they're not getting the right price. That is the argument which we have to factor in as well.
The act is again been misled by the opposition, the way it has been interpreted. The act suggests there is no mandi system, but if I, as a farmer, want to sell in a mandi or sell it to my neighbor and say, look, I'm happy to give you rice for ₹16 a kilo, that's my problem as a farmer. The act reduces the power of the mandi system, abolishes the middlemen, but that doesn't mean the middlemen will completely disappear. If the farmer wants to engage with the middlemen, the government has no authority to say, like, look, you can't sell to the middlemen. This is the middleman. I don't think that is the truth.
So you are advocating that there has to be a better
I'm completely advocating the reform. It is a reform for the betterment. And I'll give you a quick example. Even with the CEA, which did not affect the citizens of us, India, still the Congress and all the opposition were sitting in Delhi agitating against it. So this is exactly the same thing now happening. The farmers, probably 90% of people who are agitating in Delhi are not farmers. They have their own vested interest getting support from opposition.
That is an atrocious comment. That is an atrocious comment.
Yeah,
it can be an atrocious comment. I've seen that with CAA.
Yeah.
I'm not surprised with this either. And the kind of comment we received for the resolution of the problem in Kashmir with the formation of the Union Territory.
I think I don't see
there is any merit in what the Congress is trying
to do. I think we'll leave that to another day. I just wanted to ask for a comment from both of you on a very separate issue. You guys would have seen Australia's High Commissioner in Delhi meeting the RSS chief. That has been criticized widely, and the senator from Victoria, Senator Janet Rice, in the parliament asked for his resignation, saying that RSS is a fascist organization and this was such a big sin that he has committed meeting him. I just want your comment first from Suresh.
RSS, knowing the organization very well, they should have been very careful. Because this is a multicultural society. The history of RSS is very, very bad. And if Mukeshji say that is a very nationalist organization, it is absolute rubbish. It is a terrorist organization.
Before I go to Mukeshji, you said RSS has, the history of RSS has been very, very bad. Do you want to highlight what bad, what incidents can you list?
You are asking me?
Yes.
Yes. First of all, their Hindutva philosophy is not good for the country. It is not good for the world. If they talk about nationalism, they are the same one. You name one person who has spent years and years in jail during the independence movement. They were the one who were against the Congress, and their enemies were not the British. As per Guruji Golwalkarji, their enemies, main enemies, were Muslims, Christians, and other Dalits, not the British.
Can you point out an incident where RSS people went out and created or done a massacre of Muslims or Christians in the last 50 years or since
Gujarat riots? Gujarat riots.
Gujarat riots, the origin of Gujarat riots was burning of 58 Hindus in that railway coach.
Yep.
So yep. Those people were not RSS people who burnt that.
One second. We are presuming here that there were enough, whether it is Nanavati Commission or any other commissions constituted, it was forensically proved that the fire started from within the compartment. It's very clear. So, if the fire started from within the compartment,
even that particular incident cannot be actually proven in the court of law that it was RSS. It's all.
No, what I'm saying is, RSS inspired Hindutva brigade was roaming around the seats, roaming around the state, killing almost 2,000 people, raping women.
These things are reported facts, not proven facts. Will you agree with that?
But the fact that 2,000 people died was a fact.
Yeah, so but the Kushti allegations connecting the RSS. Anyway, I just want to give chance to Mukesh ji to respond.
Thanks again. Look, you can say whatever, Congress can say whatever. I still feel sorry for the Sikh brothers who were massacred in 1984. And the blame went to Congress. People are behind bars. I don't think there is any incident where the RSS workers are behind bars. The second point you raised was Hinduism, right? I don't understand. Suresh, you're also probably, I don't care what you're doing. So where is Hindutva? Hindu, and Hindutva means practicing of Hinduism. I don't see where Hindutva is wrong. And how can you use an acronym or synonym of Hinduism as a terrorism? I don't really don't understand. Anyway, that's your choice and some of the Congress people's choice. And when I say Sikhs were massacred in 1984, I don't say the Congress, some leaders of the Congress were involved, not every Congressee, right? Similarly, if a individual who may have done something against the Muslims or the Christians of India, you can't tarnish and brand the whole of the RSS community as terrorist group. And this is something we all need to be careful about. Like, for example, what happened in New Zealand, where in the mosque, an individual massacred Muslims. Can we say the whole of the Christian community of New Zealand are terrorists and anti-Muslims? No, it's wrong to say that. So we should not brand, whether it is Congress or RSS, we should not brand the whole of the Congress as anti-Sikh. We cannot brand the whole of the RSS as anti-Muslims. And when you use the word Dalit, I really don't understand where is Dalit different from Hindu. Dalit can be a Muslim Dalit, can be a Christian Dalit, and can be a Hindu Dalit. So we need to be very careful about the choice of words.
The call for Barry O'Farrell's resignation, do you support that? Or you think
I don't see any reason why they would ask for the resignation of an individual who out of interest wanted to meet the leader of the world's largest voluntary organization. World's largest voluntary organization met the leader of that organization. I don't see a problem there. Look, when it comes to Australia, if Dalai Lama visits Australia, none of the political party leaders would like to visit him because they're too scared of China. Right? And we need to at times stand up and say, look, I'm doing it. And I'm not meeting someone anti-national. Right? It's the leader of RSS, the Sir Sanchalak of RSS, he's not anti-India. And if Australia wants to maintain a good relationship with India, and if RSS has an important role to play in Indian politics, directly or indirectly, I don't see there is any harm. Again, we have the same political problem in Australia where there are vested interests and people or opposition parties just have to question.
So that's their job. Respond quickly. Suresh,
your turn.
You want to respond?
Barry O'Farrell going and meeting an elected representative, elected by the people of India, there is no issue whether it is BJP or whether it is Modi ji or Amit Shah ji, absolutely no issue. This is an unelected organization. They went there to probably build the relationship with the current situation vis-a-vis China. They want to develop much more better relationship with India. And as a result, they might have thought that, okay, this is one way of going there and meeting, because they know where the power lies. It is not Modi and Amit Shah ruling India. It is RSS ruling India, and along with the corporates. So they know very well where.
Are you saying that he should resign? He made a mistake. He did wrong. Are you supporting him?
I would not say he would have gone there with permission from higher ups. It is highly impossible for us to imagine that he would have gone and met without knowing the repercussions.
Exactly.
So he has the permission, implied or explicit, whatever it is. And I will not go to the extent of saying that he should resign. I would say a better sense should have prevailed. And he has many, many ministers to visit. the premier or the prime minister or the home minister or trade minister.
He would be following the directions of his masters from Canberra.
I agree. Yeah. To that extent, as I said, the power lies in RSS. And they knew that. So going there and meeting them and asking for resignation, I would not say that resignation, because he will not resign. His resignation will not be accepted. Yes, that's fine. But so I would calling, still say...
So calling for his resignation was a stunt in the parliament.
I think that everyone knows that that's not going to happen. But they should be made accountable for what they are doing. And that Janet Rice must have tried to put that thing there. And what sort of an organization it is. And Australia is not India of today. Australia is much more humane, humanitarian, sort of a multicultural sort of a country. Not India.
I think I'll let Mukeshji respond quickly, then we wind up.
Yeah. Okay. Now, so what Rice wants, I think I agree with Dineshji that it was more of a popularity stunt that you have to say something against your own people or the elected representative who is in the opposition and say, why did you go there? If Congress comes back to power, I'm sure the Australian hierarchy or the parliament in Canberra would say, we need to be in very close touch with people who control Congress, right? Whether it is Priyanka Gandhi or Robert Wadra, if we have to meet them, that's not a problem. We should do it. Because ultimately, it is in the interest of Australia. Similarly, if whether RSS controls India or India controls RSS or Modi is controlled by RSS, whatever Sureshji thinks, that's absolutely fine. I don't want to disagree with him or agree with him. If engaging with RSS is in the national interest of Australia, right? If it is in the interest of Australia in the current climate when we are dealing with challenges from China, I'm in 100% support. Let's think I'm a Caucasian. I have no idea about Indian politics and RSS and whether they are terrorist organization or not. If I'm told by Sureshji that RSS controls Indian government, then as an Australian, I would say I would go and engage with RSS because that is in the interest of Australia. I have no problem. As I said to you at the very beginning, that I'm a nationalist, Hindu nationalist, whether I'm an Australian citizen or I'm an Indian PR holder, doesn't matter. I will remain a nationalist. I will work for the country's interest and I will work for the Australian country's interest, right? And I will also be supportive of India, whatever works for India. So I would not ask for the resignation if I was Rice. It is more of a political stunt.
All right, gentlemen, thank you very much for your time. I hope we can do another session like this soon.
Oh, it would be fantastic. And Sureshji, I have been following your tweets very closely and your Facebook messages very closely. I don't interact with you that often, but continue your good work of bashing the current NDA government, which is needed because we need to have a strong opposition. You are doing a much better job than Rahul Gandhi and Sonia exactly. Gandhi currently. So excellent work, Sureshji. Very much supportive of your effort. And I've learned a lot from today's talk from you. And thanks, Dineshji, for having me.
No problem. Thank you.
Thank you, Mukeshji. Don't take it other. Thank you, Dineshji.
No problem. We'll meet again.
Thank you very much. Yeah.
Thank you. Take care. Take and care. Continue bye. The good work, both of you. Thank you. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.